This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, I'm Marcus, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon. You can too by visiting patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listener, to episode 107 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
Back from his luxurious vacation is George. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
This episode, we're going to catch up on the latest exploits of a house full of vampires living in Staten Island, step into new worlds with some cool virtual reality gear, and play the latest entry in the heartbreaking Life is Strange series. Before we get into any of those topics and much more, it is time for one of my favorite parts of the show, and that is fourth listener email. You guys remember a couple of episodes ago, we had a brand new patron, Phaedrus. Remember
that? Oh, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. After Phaedrus joined us on Patreon, I wrote to him saying, hey, welcome, of course, and asking how did he hear about us, and he wrote back a really nice little note that I wanted to share, in part at least, here on our fourth listener email segment. So this is from Phaedrus, and we ask again, you know, how did you hear about us? And he said, I love what you guys do. I've been a podcast nut ever since I got my first iPhone. I'm very late Gen X, October 1979, but I still have memories of everything you guys talk about. Big fan of nerdy stuff like video games, pinball, slot machines, tech gadgets, etc. Oh, that sounds nice. Like a perfect fit.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I'm quite certain I heard GXG mentioned in another nerdy podcast, and it quickly became one of my favorites. I'm working my way through your back catalog, and the entertainment you provide during long work days and routine long trips in the truck is well worth a few dollars a month to help you guys out. Huh. I wish more listeners would see it that way.
Aww. I do too.
Sweet.
We're looking to hire a spokesperson. I think Phaedrus is in the running.
Yes. It's another truck driver too. It's our second truck driver.
He can come sit in my chair. I'll go on another vacation.
No. You're back. No, you got to get to work. Sorry. Yeah, he wraps it up by saying, hey, please keep up what you're doing and I will stay a dedicated fan. Thanks, Phaedrus.
That's cool. Nice. Like I said, another truck driver that listens to us on the road.
Well, at least he drives a truck. I don't know if that's I guess that makes you a truck driver technically. I don't know if he's like a long-haul driver. I don't know if he's that kind of truck driver, but he's a truck driver.
He drives a truck. That's all that matters.
Certainly.
Still, that's cool, though. That's awesome.
In fairness, Mo, you're a truck driver, right?
No. I'm a pickup truck driver.
Again, it wasn't clear. It could be any kind of truck. Hey, not only do we thank you for writing in, Phaedrus, but of course, as before, thank you for your support over on Patreon. We sure appreciate you. If you would like your email feature here on the show, it is drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com or read every single one. And most of them, like Phaedrus's, make the show. Okay, with that good business behind us, it is time to jump into the meat of this show. Right after this break, stick around.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Hawk, free-spirited, riding on the wind. Hawk, soaring to heights no other can reach. Now, for the man who reaches higher, We've captured that high-flying feeling in a new man's fragrance. Hawk. Challenging. Exhilarating. Now for the man who reaches higher. Hawk. By men.
Well, let's get the ball rolling right here at the top of the show, as we always do, talking about media we have been checking out. Could be comics or music or television or movies or whatever it is. And George, I want to start with you. Again, fresh back from vacation, what were you checking out in the world of media while you were out?
Well, I was checking out a whole world of media unto itself. I was at Walt Disney World for the last week, seven nights, I think it was, 8 days.
That's like being fully immersed in media, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
you're living media.
As many intellectual properties as Disney owns and as much as they have going on here in our home state of Florida in Orlando, you can't help but when you go on a trip to just be completely immersed. Involved in every part of the world. I wanted to talk about it a little bit, though, not because, oh, I got to go to Disney or anything, but a little bit to talk about the changes, because there's no doubt in my mind after going on this trip and having the long form, because we've all done the let's go to Disney for a weekend thing. If you live in Florida, sure. You can drive down to Disney for a couple of days, do one park, maybe do two if you're really ambitious, and come back, no big deal. But when you stay there for a week, like a lot of people from other states or even other countries do, because it's a destination vacation, right?
Absolutely.
It's a completely different experience. And what I've found is how much Disney has changed from the time that I was a young person until now. It is a whole new world, to coin a phrase, right?
We're going to start singing. Go ahead.
A whole new world.
Yeah, too late. Singing for you. I totally thought we'd avoid that, but go ahead.
Sorry. Now, you don't mean like the changes just like since COVID in the last few years. You're talking about since you remember it as a youngster.
Since I remember it as a youngster.
Like physical changes, like things have changed.
Because the last time that I went to Disney was probably 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been a while for me too.
We just really haven't gone. We had annual passes for like a year, and then we haven't gone since then. So what's different about Disney now versus then is, while the cast members, as they call them, the people who work in the parks, while they are all still super friendly and super helpful and trying to do their best to make sure that your experience is what you want it to be as a Disney visitor, Disney itself has whole hog gone into the world of advanced technology for its guests. So you know that they've got the Magic Bands now. You guys have probably been there since that system has been instituted.
I have a Wreck-It Ralph one. You bet.
What is that? How about for the rest of us? What is that?
Okay. So the Magic Bands are these little plastic RFID chipped bands that you connect to your Walt Disney account, and then you use them to use as a ticket to go into the park. Or you can even connect your credit card to them and use them for shopping at certain places.
I see. So it's like when you go on a cruise ship and they give you that thing that basically you charge everything on it and that kind of thing. Got it.
Exactly.
Yep.
The difference between when they first came out and now, there are some technologies that have gone away. Disney has done away with a thing called Fast Pass.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that.
There's a big brouhaha about that, too.
There should be, because you pay for this Disney ticket, which, by the way, if you pay retail right now, is $109 per day.
That's crazy.
Per person.
That's nuts.
You used to be able to add on the FastPass service for, I don't know, $20, $40, $50 or some ridiculous price, but you got to go into the rides much faster.
Right.
Now they don't do that. Now it's just you get on a ride, you wait in line like you always used to do back in the e-ticket days, right?
I heard they're working on some new system, but it probably wasn't in place yet.
It's not in place. Okay. I think it's going to be called Lightning Lane. It's essentially, they've left the mechanisms, the physical layout of the lines, you know how FastPass line is a little bit separate from the regular line, even though you enter right next to each other.
Yeah, so you can punch the people in FastPass as they walk.
Dick, punch them as they run.
So that's still there, and there are still people that are getting to use those lines, but they apparently are part of some kind of tourist group or something along those lines.
I see. It's like some sort of special deal.
Or also, if you were on the ride and it got shut down due to inclement weather, then you get to come back at a specific time and ride the ride that way.
Rain check, that's cool.
A rain check type of thing. But the bigger change besides that kind of a thing is now you can no longer go into a park with just a ticket.
What do you mean?
I thought tickets how you get in the park. Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly, right? No. So you buy a ticket and you get to go to a park. That's how we're used to doing it.
Right. Yeah.
And you buy that ticket, and it's just a Disney ticket, and you go to whichever park you want to. Not anymore. Now you have to go on the website and tell them which day you're going to the park and which park you want to go to if it has openings.
On the day.
Apparently they're limiting the amount of people going into the parks. I don't know if that's a COVID thing or if that's a new Disney thing, but you cannot go into a park unless you have not only the ticket, but also what they call a park pass.
Because what used to be that you used to be able to get a 1 day pass that you could basically pick whatever park you wanted to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided when you showed up, basically, right?
And they are encouraging people do this well in advance. So it's not like a, let me buy a ticket that day and go into that park.
Uh-huh.
When we went to our parks, we noticed, remember the lines where you could purchase tickets right at the front of each park?
Yeah.
Right. Those are almost non-existent now. There were no people in those lines at any of any day.
Huh.
It was just a big open field of a mass of people getting off of a monorail or whatever. And walking toward the place where you put your little magic band up and go into the park itself.
Interesting.
So it's a completely different experience. And I don't think it's for the better. I really don't. It's like they're trying to force you into making a bunch of decisions well in advance.
Like lots of structure.
And that takes the fun out of Disney for me.
That's interesting.
Did that crush your vacation? I mean, were you still able to enjoy yourself though? Yeah, no? Or
We were still able to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
But you felt like you were locked in.
Oh, so they don't have the park hopper thing anymore where you could jump
from
park to park?
They do have the park hopper thing, but that's even limited now.
That's another thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The park hopper now, instead of it being you could hop between park and park and park anytime you want, now you have to have the park pass for the day you want to do the park hopper.
Yeah.
And you can only use it during certain times, usually in the afternoon till the close of the park, like 2 or 3 o'clock until the park closes.
Like when people might have filed out of a park, so there's a little more bandwidth to get people in there. Yeah. I see.
So how does that affect things like Epcot? Because I know Epcot was super popular toward the later part of the day, right? Because of the restaurants and the World Expo. So I imagine like everyone's trying to flood into there and can't or something.
They can't, right. So Epcot was our last day. It was our Thursday. And I want to say this about Epcot. It's under construction right now. They were supposed to have been finished with all the stuff in the Future World area that they were doing. They have not finished it. It was the worst Epcot experience I've ever had. And Epcot is my favorite park at Disney.
Oh, that sucks.
I was very disappointed. All of the big, huge construction walls that you might have seen at Disney Springs over the last few years when they were doing a lot of work there, that's what's up at Epcot. And it's just, you're walking in these claustrophobic pathways now because the walls have to come in a little bit to allow the construction stuff. It was very unfriendly. The Spaceship Earth ride is really feeling its age. The cars are creaking. They're making a lot of noises.
Jeez.
Audio, you know, like when you go to a certain point and the audio kicks in for that little visual display that you're looking at, it's off sync now. So the part about the library at Alexandria, like we went past those animatronics and then the audio kicked in.
That is so not Disney.
I know.
If anything, Disney is like precision. Everything is like clockwork, you know, it's like a finely tuned watch or something. To be in a ride like that, I mean, breakdown is one thing, but if the ride is just operating normally, and it's like a funhouse ride at the county fair, that is weird. That's got to be surreal.
It did, and you're exactly right. Now, there are parts of the parks that they are paying real close attention to. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is incredible. It is an immersive experience and a half. I didn't get to spend nearly enough time in it, and I still am in love with it right now. The Avatar area over in Animal Kingdom, where they have the Flight of Passage ride and the Navi boat ride.
That was cool.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. However, apparently the best way to see it is at night. That park closes at 7 p.m. And currently in Florida, it doesn't get dark until about 8:30 or 9.
Oh, man.
They have like fiber optic lights through the ground and everywhere.
Exactly.
You couldn't see all that as
none
well.
None of that is
I can imagine.
Active. But it is a beautifully detailed world. So it looks to me like Disney is concentrating on those big bucket items and other things are kind of falling by the wayside, which makes me kind of sad.
Yeah. I can see that.
I wonder if any of that's going to relax after COVID fully relaxes and it's not about how much foot traffic you get. I would hope so.
I hope it does. I mean, currently they are doing some safety things. Like if you go anywhere indoors on a Disney property, you have to put on a mask regardless. Sure. I don't care about vaccination status. But at the same time, you've been walking around Disney all day. It's Florida.
Yeah.
It's any time other than December, so it's hot as hell.
Yep.
You're sweating all over the place. You sit down in a ride, your back sweat, arm sweat, everything is on that ride. They're not wiping down these rides in between people. So what the hell's the point of putting on a little flimsy mask if you've got somebody's back sweat all up against you when you sit down in your ride?
So you're not breathing out particulate, but you're shaking like a dog, exactly. Like a lawn sprinkler because you're covered with sweat.
Okay. Man. Now we're talking about back sweat.
Of all my Disney trips, this is, I would probably rate this like a 7 out of 10, maybe a 7.5 out of 10.
Oh, I mean, for Disney, that's low.
That's still respectable. It's still Disney. Still a good time.
Yeah.
Right.
It was fun. It was, I enjoyed it. I'm glad the whole family got to go. That was the biggest part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that Disney is going in some interesting directions. I think they have a lot of work to do.
Hmm. I'm going to tighten it up.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So that was my media consumption for a week, was all Disney all
just
the time.
Just be fully immersed in Disney.
You lived inside of media, the Disney conglomerate. Really. Yeah.
John, did you happen to do any Disney stuff or something completely different?
I was not the beneficiary of a 7-day trip to Disney, unfortunately. Yeah, I was just doing the old work grind myself, but a lot of media I've been checking out, some stuff that I started watching and I haven't finished. But what I really wanted to call out here, there's a show we talked about years ago now that mm-hmm. I wanted to bring back to light because it is really coming into its own. It was already good. So it was a series called What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm,
vampires.
Yeah, that's right. It's mm-hmm. based on a film from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to become the Taika Waititi fan club, but Taika Waititi, executive producer of this show as well.
We are.
In the
Come
series.
On, let's just lead into it.
Oh, we kind of are. Yeah. Who wants to be the president? George, you be the president. I'll be the treasurer. Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah,
we got it covered. But no, so What We Do in the Shadows is a series on FX. And if you haven't seen it, first of all, start watching it. It is so much fun.
Right. You should watch the movie, though, first.
You should watch the film, right. It's about a house full of vampires that live in this mansion in Staten Island.
Which is funny by itself.
Right. They're from the old country. They moved over here and they've been here for years. They were supposed to come to America to colonize and take over the new colonies, right, way back when. And they just never got around to it because they're immortal. They just doing other stuff and doing their own kind of hedonistic crap they like to do.
Plus they're in Staten Island.
So you kind of follow what's going on with them. They have the three regular vampires and an energy vampire.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing they've done, I'm bringing it up now because they just started season 3. It just kicked off on FX.
Ah.
Before season 3 aired, season 4 was already greenlit. So we have a lot more coming. So the show is doing well for them.
That's good to know.
The interesting thing they've done with the show is I remember I couldn't pronounce back when we first talked about the show, but one of the vampire's assistant is named Guillermo. Mm-hmm. And Guillermo is this poor guy who has been the familiar of this vampire for years. And is hoping he'll be made a vampire one day.
Right.
And he's never going to be. However, over the course of the series, we find out that he has Van Helsing blood in him.
Yeah. Ooh, that's right.
He didn't know this. The amazing twist that happened. So it could have just been a little sitcom-y thing that's kind of fun. But at the end of last season, some shit went down. And Guillermo ended up slaying a bunch of vampires who were going to kill our primary vampires. The ones the stories are about.
Oh, so he was defending his people.
Right. Defending his master or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So here's the problem. As we enter the new season, he's a vampire killer. So he's in a cage in the basement. And they're arguing about, well, we should kill him because he's a vampire killer. But then there's the vampire code that if someone saves your life, you have to protect them. Well, now what do we do? And so they're really evolving an interesting story where a lot is happening politically and kind of like the bloodlines of these vampires. And it's always a great time. And it's so much fun. I'm just 2 or 3 episodes into season 3 now. And I've heard both of you talking about it. I know you both have watched a little bit or a lot. Maybe you've caught up with it. But what a great, fun show.
Yeah. I like how it's based on the movie, but it's separate. It's like another situation in the same world.
It's other vampires in the same universe. That's right.
And
yeah.
Let me tell you, the fact that they're in Staten Island cracks me up to no end. I mean, that's just like the most hilarious place to put a coven of vampires in the world, I think.
Of course, they hate the werewolves, and the werewolves and the vampires don't get along. And at one point, he's dating a woman and finds out she's a werewolf. And like, oh no, I'm so conflicted. Yeah. What do I do? They really play with all the horror movie tropes that are so much fun.
Yep.
You know, anytime there's a mirror, they don't miss an opportunity to show that you can't see his reflection. reflection. He's dusting and you see the, you know, feather duster by itself.
The energy vampire cracks me up. That was a nice addition.
They're actually, he's doing a lot of research right now trying to figure out the origin of the energy vampires because they don't know much about it. He's trying to dig into it. So a lot going on. If you haven't watched it, this is a great time to jump in and catch up.
Nice.
And it's good to know that it's continuing not only this season, but a fourth season coming. So there's more to come. Watch that film, catch up. What We Do in the Shadows on FX. Highly recommended. Good time to check it out.
Cool.
Mo, how about you, man? What have you been watching?
Actually, I'm watching the final season of a show that I've watched for years called Lucifer. It was on NBC.
Which final season is this? Because hasn't this show had like five different final seasons?
It was on NBC, got canceled. Netflix picked it up and they did three seasons, the final three seasons.
They did three seasons. Wow.
Two or three.
Well, they're notorious for picking it up, doing a season, and then dropping it. But, like, they picked it up and kept it going a while.
And they actually had a series. This is, like, the last season now, because they're ending the story.
I've heard that before.
No, actually, I saw it. They ended the story. I started watching it because it's based on Neil Gaiman's Sandman world that he did.
Right.
Mm. The Lucifer is a character in that, and they just kind of expanded it. And for those of you who haven't watched the show, it's entertaining. Basically, Lucifer gets tired of being Lucifer. So he goes to Earth. Mm-hmm. He says, screw it. and they're basically trying to convince him to go back.
He's going to Disney World.
Exactly.
But they won't let him in. No park pass.
Damn it. Yeah. And of course, now no one's running hell, and other angels are trying to get him to go back, and he's just like, no. And hilarity ensues from there.
So what is he doing when he comes to Earth?
He owns a nightclub.
Oh, okay. Of course he does.
Drinks, sleeps with beautiful women, goes out, parties all the time.
So he's just living like Mo. Look at that. He's just living the Mo life.
Exactly. But there's a whole thing where he meets like this female detective and he starts having feelings for her. And then the weird twist they have in the first season is that when he's around her, he's vulnerable. Like, he actually gets shot and hurt.
Oh, he can be injured.
He can be injured only when he's around her,
though. Like, his emotions make him vulnerable or something?
Only when he's around her. And that's part of what they kind of uncover. Like, he doesn't understand why.
It's Superman Lois from the Superman 2 movie, right?
Right.
He goes into a hyperbolic chamber and he's in love, so he gives up his immortality and now he can be shot.
Except he's not consciously doing this, but...
Right. Except Lois is made of kryptonite.
And the really thing that makes it funny is that Lucifer never lies on the show to anybody. Who are you? Oh, Lucifer Morningstar. Is that your real name or a stage name? He says, it's God-given.
So he gives responses that people take as like interpretive or snarky, but he's being literal.
He's being actually literally totally honest. He says, who are you? He says, oh, I'm the devil. You know, and everyone's like, oh, funny, you're a method actor. I thought they did a good job with ending. I don't want to give anything away, obviously, because it's a lot of seasons here for this, like 7 or 8 seasons that they went through. But I think they did a good ending. They wrapped up all the stories. And I like it when a show gets the opportunity to end on their own terms.
Of course. Right.
Rather than cancel like Netflix does infamously. Right.
Yeah. Surprise. It's over.
So it's been a great show. It was a great ride. So it's over. But it was good.
Is it one you would recommend somebody to pick up now that you know the full conclusion to watch the whole show? Is it worth watching at this point?
Yeah. It was unlike Dexter, say.
Right. That petered out and had weird weak seasons.
That last season really pissed me off. This one, though, you can watch the whole thing front to end. If you like the first season, you'll like all of it.
All right, man. Cool.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine.
Who is he?
He is Parquet.
Pare.
Excuse me, but I think you are Parquet.
Pare.
He is not Parquet?
I think so.
Pare.
Taste.
Smooth.
Creamy. He's butter.
Parquet.
Ah, it's okay.
He's nice.
Sarai.
Let's jump into tech and toys, right? Where we get what we spend our hard-earned money on and enjoy life that we're older and can actually afford these things that we wish we had when we were kids. But and I'm actually going to kick us off today because I got a call from one of our advertisers, actually, and a friend of ours from King of Nerds, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
He has a YouTube channel that he does all VR stuff. And if you guys haven't checked it out, you really should. He does a good job of covering all that stuff. And he was looking to do a video on a game called Demio, which I'm going to talk about in the game section, so I won't give up here. But he needs four players. And you know me, all I need is a good excuse to buy a piece of tech, and I will get it.
So you went and bought VR equipment so you could be on a collaboration because you didn't have the gear you needed?
Yeah.
Just, I've been a great influence on you. Oh my goodness. That sounds like a straight up thing I would do, right?
It's almost a reflex at this point. It's like,
I just want to point out, this is not in the financial budget for Gen X Grown Up.
No.
We can't keep doing this, guys.
No, this is a straight up Mo purchase.
It's on my dime. I didn't expect it. So I bought an Oculus Quest 2.
Oh, right.
It's the one that fits my head. It's a standalone, or you can hook it up to your computer.
Okay, mm-hmm. So yours you can hook up to your computer.
Yes, I can.
Because I have the Oculus Quest. Mine's the gray one. It's kind of...
That's the first one. That's the Quest 1, I think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like mine very much because it was very limited.
Oh.
So yeah. Yours has more options. Yeah,
you talked about it here on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you talked about that one. Yeah. This one, though, yeah, playing it as a standalone, it's great. I played a bunch of games on a standalone. But then when I hooked up to my computer, I found out that I had some Steam games that already supported VR.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able just to play them with the Oculus, which was pretty damn cool. I played like the Star Wars Squadrons game.
That's got VR support?
It's got VR support.
Damn it, I just spent $300.
Now, George, we can't afford this in the GXG budget. We just talked about this.
Miraculously, I found some money in the spreadsheet.
Did you? Oh, suddenly there's so totally a budget for it now.
And let me tell you, though, guys, VR has come a long way. I guess because of all the phone technology, you know, with the better screens on phones and stuff like that.
Sure.
Oh, that makes sense.
They're able to make the headsets lighter, smaller, better screen resolution, all that stuff that they can now do in these headsets. I was talking with Greg about this. He said that Oculus is actually losing money on these headsets. Like, they're trying to get people into it, kind of like Xbox and those other companies.
Oh,
did back
yeah,
in the
they're
day.
The loss leader.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
Platform.
To get gotcha. People in, because the technology, you know, there's no way they could charge $800 and have people buy this or whatever mm-hmm. it would cost. We played a 4-person game, and the social and stuff aspects of it are very cool. Talking to John the other day that, you know, there's a game on there I was kind of tooling with that's almost like an escape room kind of game. I said, wow, John, I said, you would totally get into this because mm-hmm. you're in a room and you got to figure out how to get out, but you're a spy instead of a person who voluntarily went in there. It's pretty exciting. Stuff. I mean, everybody I showed it to, everyone's reaction is the same thing, like, wow, my daughter, my girlfriend, everyone's like, wow, this is cool. I want one. I'm like, well, you know, Christmas, maybe we'll see.
So you didn't have a VR set like this Mm-mm. before. You bought it. I mean, in fairness, you wouldn't have bought it just to do a collaboration. You obviously wanted an excuse to buy one.
Oh, so I definitely wanted one. Yeah, I was looking for an excuse.
Now that you made the investment, and it's mm-hmm. like $300, I think you said, right?
Yeah.
$300 it's going for now.
Yep.
You're in the honeymoon phase.
Yes, I am.
The thing we've talked about with VR all the time is like, it keeps fixing a problem we don't have. Like, I have a screen, I have a way to control it, I have a keyboard, I have a mouse, I have all that. Do you feel any differently now that you've been, again, I know you're in the, love with it at the moment, honeymoon phase. Is it something you think you'll keep going back to? I always think about the inconvenience of, well, I've got to put it on my head, I've got to get isolated, that kind of stuff. Or is it moved along to a point that you think it's actually going to earn a place in your gaming rotation? Or
I think it definitely is going to earn a place in my gaming rotation, especially for certain games. Like playing the Star Wars Squadrons one with the VR, totally different experience.
Can imagine.
And you're in a cockpit and you actually can turn your head and see bad guys and know where they are. You know, visually you could spot them rather than...
Stop, George is drooling. Quit talking about that.
And they also have stuff like some very Zen games. Like they have a jigsaw puzzle game, except it's three-dimensional. So you're putting together like a room or a scene. And so you have to move the model around and put the pieces together. I played that just a bunch of times. Just it's something relaxing to do and for 20 minutes or something like that. I've bought a couple games that are specifically VR, but just the idea that you could go into your one, you could even watch movies on them now. You could do like the group things where you actually like be in a movie theater with four friends watching the same movie, like kind of what we do at Plex and some other things. I'm just really enjoying it. Ask me a couple of weeks. We'll see if it changes.
Right. But, that's the curiosity.
But for right now, my gut is telling me that it's something that's going to be in the rotation of things I'm going to use.
Well, so I want to ask you some questions specifically about the device because, you know, you're talking about the platform and the games and everything, but the device itself makes a huge difference with your experience, I would imagine. So you have the Oculus Quest 2. Mm-hmm. I have the Quest 1. Mine just has the little crappy single controller. I can't add a second controller to it. Does yours have two controllers? You talked about connecting it to computer.
Yep, two controllers.
Those look very much like the regular Oculus controllers.
Yeah, there's a trigger, a joystick, and a middle finger thing for gripping.
Okay.
And so each controller has the same setup. One has A, B buttons, the other one's X, Y.
And that's why you can enjoy some of your games a little bit more than I can, because I only have the one controller.
Yeah,
that would limit it. So the dual hands inside a game that you might think of with virtual reality, I can't experience.
Yeah.
And you can hook yours up to a computer, which gives it more horsepower, gives you more options.
Yeah.
But when you're hooked up to a computer, you have this long trailing cable, obviously, right?
Yeah, I do.
How do you feel about using this piece of equipment in either a small or a large space, because you have to have room to move around in this thing, right?
There's a bunch of games that are basically made for you to be stationary.
Okay.
So those are the ones I've been playing. Although I did go into my living room and I played like the Star Wars one, that because you fight with lightsabers, which is totally freaking cool. But you need to have space around you. And they do a good job that, like, they have cameras on the outside of the mask, so you see out through the screen. That's just a black and white, kind of grainy. And you draw your boundary on the floor with the controller.
So you don't accidentally run into the coffee table.
As soon as you hit that boundary, it switches to an outside view so you see where you are.
Ah.
So it keeps you from like colliding with stuff, which is really handy.
Because, you know, we see all the YouTube videos all the time of the people falling forward and breaking a TV or crashing into their wall or whatever. Okay.
That's got to be wild. It's like you're stepping in and out of the Matrix.
It really is. It's kind of like that. So, George, you have a really odd thing on this list here, and I don't know what the hell this is.
Well,
GX71?
Yeah. Keeping in theme with my visit over to Disney, I went down there and I picked up this new little friend of ours that's going to be a new member of Gen X Grown Up. I'm going to introduce him and let him say hello to everybody.
Is that a robot?
It is. So at Disney, in the Hollywood Studios theme park, they have that place called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that I mentioned earlier, and I bought an R2 unit. You can go into this store, and they have these big conveyor belts, and you can customize either an R unit or a B unit, like the BB-8.
Uh-huh. And it builds it, like, in front of you, kind of?
No, you build it.
Oh, you build it yourself?
Yeah. You go, there's this conveyor belt full of parts that are just circling around, and it's all the same parts, but they're in different design colors and stuff. Like, you can get the R2 body in white like I got it, or black or red or blue. Mm-hmm, and then you can get the dome, the little helmet part, in different colors, some of them clear. Then you can pick out the legs as well. So both side legs and the bottom leg for an R2 unit.
So it's kind of like Build-A-Bear.
It is. It's Build-A-Bear for cool people. That's what it is.
For cool people. For cool people. Build-A-Droid Workshop. You get to fill them with electronic stuffing. They get a machine.
You do. So the electronic stuffing, as you heard his noises, those are the noises of a merchant robot. You can also get the personality chip that has the First Order sounds, or the one that has the Rebellion sounds. And I got all three.
Personality chips. Interesting.
You know, another way for them to get $15 out of you each time, right?
Well, they priced that one right, didn't they?
Yep.
They did. I got the 3-pack, which you get the, it's basically buy two, get one free. It's essentially, you know, like a little remote control R2 unit. He moves around, he spins, his head turns around, you play the music, you know, his tones and whatnot. There's even little attachments that you can stick on the R2 unit. The BB unit has different ones. You press one button on your controller and they start activating. So for the R2 unit, it's the little jet packs on his legs, like when R2 wants to go flying somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh right.
So
yep.
You can put those on and press it, and then they light up and they have little LEDs and whatnot. Really fun stuff. But when I was there putting him together, I said, I'm going to make a Gen X grown-up R2 unit. So my guy has a blue dome top, a white body, and red legs.
There you go.
So all of our logo colors.
And so your naming, GX71, fits right in with that.
Yeah, Gen X and 71 for my year. I went back and forth. I was going to call him R7X7 because G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. But then one of my sons came up with this name and I said, yeah, that sounds a lot better than R7X7. So
it flows.
I like 71. GX71.
Yeah, it does. Welcome to the team, GX. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. Very cool. That is awesome, man.
Yeah.
Now, did you say, what did you have to pay for building a robot?
I haven't yet, but so.
He's saving that for the last.
It must be good.
No matter which one you get, whether you get the R unit or the B unit, they're $99 plus tax. So they come out to $103.50, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So not horrible. It's a fun little experience. You know, all the people there are dressed up and everything. It's Disney. Mm-hmm. And then you have all the accessories on the wall that you can get, stickers and panels and the little memory, the extra chips and stuff. And the interesting thing with these droids versus something that you might buy at like a Toys R Us or whatever, these actually interact with other droids that are from the Galaxy's Edge store. So
that's cool.
When I was walking around with him in his little carrying box at the park, they left him on. And every time we would go by one of the other boxes, they would start to talk to each other.
That's a neat little feature. That's cute. Yeah.
It was cute. So that's why I wanted to go back and get a second one. I was going to go back and get a B unit and have both of them here.
Wow, what smart marketing that is.
But I couldn't get into the park because of the park pass thing. They don't do the shopper pass thing like
See?
They did.
See, so they lost out on your $100.
They did. I was going to spend another $100. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man. So, that's awesome.
Cool little unit. Surely they have something online where I can pick out the pieces and have it shipped to me, maybe.
I'm sure.
They're not going to pass up the opportunity for people to buy, but maybe they will. I don't know. We'll have to see.
But I think part of that price is that cool experience too, because now you'll remember building him just like people do at Build-A-Bear Workshop. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
You're making kind of a joke, Mo, but it's exactly the similar parallel. You get to pick the, you know, what he looks like and what he's wearing and all that kind of stuff.
So it makes it yours, right?
Makes it yours. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's part of the thing. Like you, when you get finished assembling him, you know, you got the screwdriver on the line above your head, like at a, you know, a NASCAR garage type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're, well, there he's still talking. He wants to you get done putting all his legs together and his head on and everything like that, and then you hand him to the person and she puts him in this little slot, and there's a button where you get to press it and it brings him to life, so to speak.
You're like activating
so
him.
It's
finally.
Just like the Build-A-Bear thing. Yeah. Yep.
You birthed him. Way to go. Right. Congratulations, George.
That's
a bouncing
cool.
baby R2 unit.
R2 unit. Right. Nice.
And they move around really well too. I was very surprised at the remote control vehicle aspect of it. He gets around on rough surfaces. We drove him around at Hollywood Studios for quite a while that day.
Cool.
They got your number.
Yeah. If I was there, they would have had mine too, so that's fine.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
John, moving on to yours.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is did AutoCorrect fill this in for you or something?
Let me look. No, that's accurate. That's exactly, yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
Right. Just say it. What is this?
So, lest you think it is a toy, it is not. It is tech.
Uh-huh.
Though it can be a little fun, I suppose. But having the opportunity to travel overseas a little bit with my work, not so much in the last year and a half, but, you know, historically, you get to experience stuff that other cultures have, whether it be their food or their art or their toilets.
So, what the fuck?
Something that I had experienced overseas that I don't know why Americans have not embraced yet is the simple new technology of the bidet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's the word I thought might have been autocorrected, but you actually have a bidet to talk about. All right.
No, it's a bidet. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the concept of a bidet, when you visit the facilities to take care of your number two business, often in America, I hope most everyone in America uses a bit of toilet tissue to tidy up after they have deposited their waste. But that makes so little sense. Like, if you got your hand in poop, would you just wipe it off with paper? No, you would wash your hand, right? You would clean yourself. The benefit of a bidet is, first, it's less waste because you don't need so much toilet paper. And second, it cleans your behind after you have used the restroom. Keep laughing. It's okay. Don't knock until you've tried it. Here's the thing. You can get very expensive bidets. You can replace your existing commode. You can get all this warming and fans and all that. I don't need any of that stuff. You can.
How long do you spend on the toilet with all this? Yeah, it'd be like an event.
Well, longer now. It's a great experience. No. So what I picked up was this kind of a adapter bidet by a company called Lux. It's just $50, and it adds on to your existing plumbing, and it adds to any traditional North American commode the ability to have a bidet that you can use this clean, comforting, cool spray of water to tidy up after you have done your business.
We're going to get so many listener emails on this.
They're all like you, knocking it before you tried it. If you have never experienced it, there's nothing salacious or weird about it. Frankly, it is a better way to clean up after you have visited the restroom. And plus, for $50, it's just more hygienic. You're cleaner, you're saving money, and you feel fresher after you go. You don't have to have that. If you ever have that problem where you're like, you're sitting in there, and maybe it's one of those kind of deposits where you use a ton of toilet paper or whatever, those days are gone. You can laugh at me all you want. It's great.
No. I'm just laughing at the conversation that we're having right now. That's the
this
thing.
This is the second one I have installed. I like it so much. It is a really neat addition. You should try it out.
Let's all go to John's house.
I'm not saying go in your yard with a hose and try it out. I'm saying if you've not experienced that technology in the facilities, it's worth exploring.
I'm flabbergasted because I didn't think we would ever be talking about this on the podcast because, honest to God, I have one of these things sitting on a shelf for the last year that I've been waiting to install and haven't done it yet.
Do you really?
Not the particular brand that you have, but I have the attachment to the American commode because I saw some YouTube commercial thing, you know, like those Manscaped commercials where it's like the guy in the woods and he's all manly and everything. One of those Kickstarter ones for a bidet like a year ago.
Yeah, right.
And I was going to buy it and we missed out on the Kickstarter. And then I found this one on Amazon and I bought it and it's sitting on my shelf still. I haven't put it in. And now I'm like, I got to go put it in, I guess.
Well, this one, we'll put a link in the show notes. It's easy to install at $50. It's very reasonable for what it is. You're going to make that money back, I would say, in toilet paper in probably within the year in what you save. I mean, you're still going to want to use toilet paper to dry because now you got a soaking wet rear end, but it's a much cleaner rear end that you just need to dab dry.
The reason why I haven't hooked mine up yet is because of the temperature.
Oh, cold water shooting up
because
there?
Because the one that I have connects to the cold water. Yeah, me too. That's what's at the toilet. And I'm not sure that I want a jet of cold water shooting up my backside when I'm done doing my business.
I get that. It is surprisingly refreshing. No doubt about it.
Surprisingly refreshing.
I suppose warm would be better. And they have options for that. But that requires, electricity. And I don't have plugs in my toilet area that would really work with that. That's the next step maybe is to go with that. So,
oh, man. What a tech segment.
Are you done giggling at me, Mo? Is that
no, okay? it's just a conversation I never thought we'd be having on this show.
Like I said, I've had this technology sitting on the shelf for a year. That's why I haven't brought it up on the show, because I didn't think it was appropriate.
Who's to say what's appropriate? As you get older, some things just need discussing. And this is one of those things.
Right.
Next thing, we're going to be talking about our hemorrhoid medication in the tech and toy segment.
Oh, I have a good one to recommend. No,
okay.
Science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes,
yes! Woo!
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
At the top, everything's coming up Cal next at JCPenney. Stand up and be counted, because this top is running hot in colors that go from innocent to outstanding. This sweater is a top priority, and it's just $13. You'll be sitting pretty, right up to your ears. At the top, only at JCPenney.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Three rounds! The GXG Gaming Division.
And we're back from Disney into our next round of the game segment, ladies and gentlemen. I am So excited to talk about a game. I'm going to start the whole segment off because I'm going to talk about a board game for the first time in a long time. I normally talk about video games because I feel like that the game segment leans more toward the video game area than it does the board game area.
Yeah.
So I'm recycling a game, though. Back in episode 21 of this podcast, we're talking about 3 years ago that we talked about this game. So that's why I'm bringing it back up, because I'm figuring most people will have no memory of that episode whatsoever. I found a game at SFGE, a convention that we recently went to and talked about, called Abalone. It's this cool little checkers slash chess marble game, Chinese checkers, chess, all these different combinations. But essentially, there are two players, a black side and a white side. Your object is to push these giant marbles around the board in this hexagonal field until you can push your opponent's marble off the board with your chain of marbles. That's what it boils down
to. Okay.
It's kind of checkery, kind of getting rid of your opponent's last man standing sort of deal.
Yeah. Exactly. And the way you win the game is you knock off, I think it's six of the opponent's marbles.
Okay.
And then you've won the game. And I bring it up because we took this board game on the trip down to Disney. My son started playing the game when we first got it, and then we fell away from it as we played other games. He got into chess recently with some friends of his, and he's gotten really good at chess, better than me. I can't beat him anymore. I used to be able to handle him. Now he just smokes me. It's not even close. I found that that same dynamic has now translated into this game. Oh, I can't beat him in this game either now. He's really good at figuring out the three-dimensional aspect. It's not that. You play traditional chess, you're mostly moving toward your opponent, right?
Yeah.
Occasionally you move backwards or forwards for certain strategies. With this game, you're kind of moving toward the opponent at odd angles, and then you can make one little move and like completely separate one of their marbles from their entire pack. And he's really, really good at finding those angles. Like, I'll have this three marble row that's just decimating his line. I'm just pushing forward, pushing his guys, and I'm about to push them all off. And then he'll go click, and one of my guys is separated, and my other two guys no longer have enough strength to keep pushing, and I'm screwed. And I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, don't you hate that?
It's a really fun game. For those out there, it's on Amazon, I'm sure.
Yep.
If you want a chess-like game that you can play in 10 or 15 minutes without a huge learning curve, this game, Abalone, is the perfect game for that.
Nice.
What made you take this with you on your vacation, though? I mean, you haven't touched it in a while, you said. What inspired you to take it along? You figured you'd have downtime, but why this game?
Yeah, we figured we'd have downtime, and sometimes our chess games can get into the days.
Oh, really?
Okay. I didn't want to play checkers, and we brought along a couple other games. We brought along Phase 10. We brought along Dalmoody for the more family aspect, although we ended up never really playing those because everybody was doing their own thing. But this was a game that me and my son could share. We could sit down for 10 or 15 minutes in the evening after we had done our Disney park or gone to whatever restaurant.
Kind of a wind down moment or something.
Yeah, just something just to relax a little bit.
I can see that.
It's a quick, easy setup. You just throw the marbles on the board, black on one side, white on the other, and you just start playing. It was a fun distraction from the vacation, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And Abalone did the job as a nice wind down, relaxing game?
Absolutely.
It did? Okay, cool. All right.
Nice.
I remember we saw it together at SFGE. Now you're making me like, oh yeah, that was a cool, maybe I will take a look again. Pick it up.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
All right, now Mo, you kind of mentioned earlier that you had a game you wanted to talk about that specifically related to your new Oculus system.
Yeah.
So what is this game? I'm kind of interested now.
Yeah, so it's a game called Demio. It's kind of described it best as like kind of like a gauntlet game, except the map is three-dimensional.
Ooh, okay.
And the thing is, you each play a character, and it's turn-based. You have this, you know, standard four characters, wizard, cleric, blah, blah, blah. You know, each one has its own abilities and powers, and then there's a little random thing where as they find things, you can get these cards that give you additional powers, and you're basically just fighting stuff, right? And you're trying to get through three levels of this dungeon, and there's a big boss at the end. And that's what made me think of like kind of a gauntlet, kind of typical
warrior's arcade. Health is low.
Exactly.
Elf needs food badly.
The 3D aspect of it was extremely cool because, you know, you got this map, and the more you zoomed in, the kind of the more details you saw on like the little figures, because like the character that represents you was like almost like a game piece.
Uh-huh.
But when you got close to it, you could see all the little details on it, and it would change poses depending on your state, that kind of thing, which is kind of neat to see. You could zoom into the map, like, because you can totally control the map. Each person controls the map separately. So you could zoom in like super close. You could zoom out a little bit. You could turn it around. You know, you can move wherever you want to. And that was really, really easy to do. But what made it really fun is that with the three other people I was playing with, I really felt like I was with three other people, if that makes sense. Like, they weren't just voices I'm hearing or something like that, because I could see what they're looking at. The way the Oculus works is like you actually hear them talking from this area where they, like, if they're behind you, you hear them talking from behind you. Uh-huh. Kind of thing.
Like, so like spatial audio.
The usual kind of game, you know, a lot of cutting up, a lot of joking around, and, you know, which is me doing all our games. But the nice thing is this game had, since it's turn-based, it seemed like there was a little more time for that kind of interaction than we had with some of the Jackbox games.
There's less action and more like RPG, D&D kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
I'll say it is. Yeah. But the game moves pretty quick. It wasn't like super slow, but there was just enough pause, I think, that, you know, to give us time to like cut up or make fun of somebody and not have to worry about like the game's going to continue on without you and screw things up. It was just a lot of fun to play. And I'm hoping to kind of see if I could talk you guys into getting one of these at some point. And then, or John, you can borrow your daughter's, right? She has one.
She does. Yeah, she got one last Christmas. That's right.
And giving this or some of these other games a try. Because I think once you, it's one of these things, I think once you kind of get into it, I could definitely see how this could be, I think, the way the future of these games may go.
So you said you play multiplayer. How many people were in the game with you?
It's a 4-player game.
And you had 4 people?
We had 4 people. Yep.
And did you win?
Oh, yeah, we did. It's us versus the dungeon. So it was a team game.
Oh, it's cooperative. Like, you're all working together to beat the game.
Exactly. All right. It's all cooperative. So, and it's funny because we were like, okay, we should stick together. Next thing we look at the map, we're all at different freaking corners. So we're like, okay, we need to fix that here. And it was like, you know, it's a good game when you beat the big boss and everyone's like, yeah, everyone gets excited at the
you're
end.
Cheering. Yeah.
Which is what we had at the end.
What's the game called again? You told me at the beginning.
Demeo.
Demeo.
And I'll definitely have a link for it in our show notes.
Yeah. Do you know what it cost? Is it much to add on to your Oculus?
The game itself, I think, was $19, I think. Yeah, it was okay. For the game.
It's like a 20 bucks.
$19 or $29. I'll check to see the price, but it wasn't not like super expensive, but right, yeah. Nothing either.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So what do you got for us, John?
Well, you know, I mentioned last time that I was looking forward to the release of the latest entry in the Life is Strange franchise. This is not the first time we've talked about Life is Strange on this show.
It won't be the last.
I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk about Life is Strange on this show. Certainly, the first Life is Strange, it punched us all in the gut and we loved it. It was a fantastic story. They had there was a free one that came out that we enjoyed, Captain Awesome, whatever his name was. George, you mentioned that the most recent one, the Life is Strange 2, whatever that one was called.
Kind of compared to the other ones.
Yeah, the Brothers.
Was okay. Yeah. The Brothers, you didn't even finish that one. It was okay. It was all right. And it's been a while since a Life is Strange title came out. In fact, I wasn't paying close attention to know when they were coming. And this one kind of surprised me. It came out of left field.
Yeah.
This latest one is called Life is Strange True Colors. And I will tell you that on the surface, other than the pedigree of Life is Strange, I wasn't sure I even wanted to look at this, let alone play it, because it sounds a little too touchy-feely for me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the premise and concept. You'll remember the first Life is Strange, you had the ability to rewind time. You had this paranormal ability, right? In the second one, your little brother, not even you, your little brother had telekinetic powers. I'm like, okay. So in this new one, True Colors, you play the role of Alex Chen, this young lady. I'm going to say she's early 20s, probably. And she has the ability to see other people's emotions as auras around them. So if you're angry, it's kind of like this red aura. If you're kind of sad or worried, it's blue. If you have this other emotion, it's purple. And joy is like this bright yellow if you're very, very happy. So it's kind of like this empathic thing, like you can feel what other people feel. And so at its surface level, I'm like, okay, so yeah, you see what the emotions are. That just kind of sounds like a hint system to know what people are thinking. But you can focus on those people and kind of read their minds and understand why they're thinking that way. So if someone is glowing red and they're angry and you kind of highlight them and kind of sense them with this Jedi mind trick thing, you can hear their voice going, oh, I'm so angry at this guy for doing this thing. So you know the motivations, like why they're upset. And the big kicker of her ability is if someone has a very profound emotion, if they're very angry or very happy or very sad, you can kind of, it can overwhelm you and you exist inside of their mind with them and you can help them work through that emotion in what is kind of a sub quest inside of the game. Until you see it, it's kind of hard to imagine, but they have really stepped up the game since we played Life is Strange. So the other thing they did here is they didn't do it episodically. For the one price, it's all in the game all at once. So you can download it and jump
in. Okay, because I was going to wait. That was one of the reasons why I enjoyed the first Life is Strange so much, because I didn't find out about it till a year later and all the episodes were out. So I got to play it all.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all out. And really quickly, the premise of the story is that this young lady has been estranged from her brother for years and years and years, and goes to live with him in this Colorado town, this really nice, small, picturesque, scenic Colorado town. And no spoilers here. It's in the trailer of the game. At the end of the first scene, something happens and he dies. And so whereas previous Life is Strange just kind of had like this world altering, do I save my friend or do I save this entire town thing? This is a very personal investigation as to what happened in this small town that caused your brother to die. And you're digging into that. It's an adventure. It's an investigation. It's a whodunit. There's an evil corporation they're digging into. It surprised me how much I'm enjoying it. I would say I may be a third of the way through, halfway through so far, playing it along with my daughter like I had previous ones. And it is really something I would recommend.
I've only played a little bit of it.
Okay.
This one feels more like the original than all the others. I feel like I'm getting invested in the character. I feel like I'm invested in the people around the character. Like the one with the brothers, like everyone you met was either you only met them for a little bit or they were like extreme kind of characters or something like that. Where this one, I feel like I'm dealing with like real people. And so far, like I said, with the emotion ones, I think it works. I'm only at the very beginning, but I almost like don't want, I only want to play it when I know I can focus on it because I don't want to be distracted because I want to just really just enjoy the experience of this game.
Life is Strange is that kind of game. You need to take your time and enjoy it. Right. But probably the biggest sticking point for, I mean, George and I, we talk about often about the cost of stuff. Is that right now it's a premium title. It's $60 right now for what would be what, 4 or 5 episodes of stuff. That's a hard pill for you to swallow, I know, isn't it?
Yeah, I personally won't be purchasing it at the $60 price. I just, there are too many games now that I have this new PC that I've bought in the past that I want to play.
Right. That you never got around to before.
That I couldn't, I just didn't have the hardware really to do anything with them. And so because I have all of that gaming content to go through, it doesn't make any sense for me to purchase this and let it sit on the Steam shelf, so to speak, for a year before I get to it. Might as well wait, let the price drop, or let some kind of sale come up during a Steam summer sale or something, and I'll pick it up at half price or better later on down the road.
Yeah,
it's nice to know that you guys like it so much, and the recommendations that we give out during this podcast are one of the main reasons why I end up buying the games and tech and stuff that I end up buying. It's just that I don't need to buy it right now. It
makes sense.
No, sure. Yeah.
The game was fun, but it was never a game that I had to play day one.
Sure. As long as nobody spoils it for you. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know how many games there are anymore that I have to play day one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Gotcha.
There's a couple, but not nearly as many.
The good news is that any bad taste left over in your mouth from the previous instance, this washes all that away for me.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying this much the same way that I did the first Life is Strange. So Life is Strange, True Colors. It's out right now. We'll throw a link down the show notes if you are interested.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Oh, Paul, I like this haircut. It really shows off my...
Ring around the collar. You've got ring around the collar.
Those dirty rings. Sprays and powders weren't good enough, so I tried Whisk. Whisk does a better job on ring around the collar. And Whisk goes on to get your whole wash clean. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hey, does everyone like your new look?
Yep. It's called No More Ring Around the Collar.
Oh.
Whisk gets ring around the collar and your whole wash clean.
As we wind up the back end of the show, we always like to take a second here toward the end to talk about what we're looking at or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. And Mo, I want to start with you. I want to know what you have on the horizon.
Sure. Obviously, you've been playing with this VR thing, so I'm going to keep doing that. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that. The new Venom movie, Let There Be Carnage, is coming October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's finally dropping. Yep. Oh, yeah. That kept pushed and pushed.
Yeah. I was going to put that in my looking forward to in the next podcast because it's like the day after that podcast drops.
Yeah, I know. It was pushing the limits, I admit. But what I'm really, really, really looking forward to is the TV series Foundation based on Isaac Asimov's books. That's coming on Apple TV September 24th.
That does look good.
It's one of those things that you almost, do I want to see it? Because if they do a bad job, I'm just going to really upset me.
Is the expectation, anticipation better than what the actual thing is going to be or not?
Yeah, right? Exactly. And everything I've read about it and seen, it looks like they are staying true to the original book, but they're actually doing a good job of like expanding it to make it, it's like a full world and stuff. I'm knocking wood, that's going to be really good, but let me tell you, I'm definitely going to be talking about that our next show. So how about you, John?
Yeah, so I mentioned before, we talked last episode about Only Murders in the Building, that mm-hmm. Hulu series with Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez. That is really shaping up for me. And not only am I enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it even more now because I got news that was renewed for a second season already.
Really?
It's doing so well for them. Yeah, that was great to hear. The other thing I'm looking forward to is playing more of that Life is Strange Two Colors that we just talked about, and Deathloop, this new first-person action shooter. We did a live stream on YouTube the other day. It was my first exposure to it. This is from the people that brought Dishonored to life, that game. Mm-hmm. It's like you took Dishonored and Bioshock and mushed them together in this weird 60s Art Deco style. It is a fun, time-bending kind of game. And I've just scratched the surface of it. I've played maybe 2 hours or so. What a great game. But the thing that I'm most looking forward to is the return of one of my guiltiest of guilty pleasure shows. Season 41 of Survivor returns Wednesday, September 22nd. I'm not a fan of reality TV in general, but I love Survivor. There's something about it that's just the right amount of reality and structure and people being terrible people and people being good people. I've always loved that one. My wife and I watch it religiously ever since the beginning.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been happening, of course, since the pandemic. So it's been almost 2 years, finally. Season 41 is back and running, and I can't wait. September 22nd.
Nice.
That's going to kick off again. Yeah. George, how about you? What do you got coming up?
Well, you know, I've got a new writing project for myself and for the Gen X Grown-Up group that I'm about two-thirds of the way through on the initial summary pass, which is a lot of fun. I'm enjoying getting into that. Mm-hmm. There is a TV series on Netflix that I talked about a while back. There were a couple of foreign series that came out at the same time. This is one of them. And season two just got released recently. It's called Into the Night. This is the one where mm-hmm. the airplane is trying to stay in front of the sunrise of the sun, because as soon as the sun hits anybody, they're instantly dead. At the end of season one, they had made it into this bunker, some kind of military thing in like Norway or something, that they had landed and just made it into the bunker in time. Some of the characters maybe didn't make it. It's, you know, so there was a little bit of a cliffhanger there. So season two is out, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to watch that. Mm. But September 23rd, dun dun, Law and Order SVU season 23.
Season 23. Wow.
YouTube TV is great at filling in episodes. So every time there's a marathon of one of these series that I like Law and Order, Law and Order SVU, whatever, it fills in that season's episodes for me. So I'll be watching season 21 and then, oh, there's some season 10 episodes and there's some season 13 episodes, and they all pop in at these different things. But Law and Order SVU is a great addition to that series. It's the longest running, currently active Law and Order series right now, because the original stopped a while back, and it's got more seasons than the original does now. The original had 20 seasons. This now has 23.
Wow.
This was even longer running. Huh?
So it's even longer running.
That's a lot of freaking Law and Order episodes.
It's a lot of Law and Order episodes.
And George has seen them all 3 times.
I am definitely enjoying it. So
nice.
September 23rd, season 23. It only comes out one episode at a time, so I don't get to binge it all at once, yeah. But I kind of wish I could.
Yeah, that'd be good. We know what George is doing on the 23rd. We got that figured out.
Well, the 23rd, the 24th, nothing.
Right.
Yeah, right. Each one. That is going to wind it up for episode 107. Before we leave, we always like to take a moment here to thank any new or notable patrons or supporters. And I want to call out Curlbro, a brand new Patreon patron who just joined us at the $3 level.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Curlbro. We appreciate everyone who supports us and kind of keeps us motivated, putting gas in the tank, keeps us doing what we're doing. You definitely are contributing to that. We are happy to have your pledge of support there. Very, very grateful to you and to everyone, both on YouTube and over on Patreon. That's going to wind it up for this edition of the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, of course, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. You know, we're kind of in a world where everything is a reboot or a sequel, and a lot of them really, really suck.
Yeah.
However, we realize there are quite a few sequels or follow-ups to great things from our childhood that were actually better than the original. So, yeah, believe it or not, can you believe it? We found a few. In the next backtrack, we're going to dig into sequels and follow-ups that were better than the Gen X original. We sure hope you will join us for that one. We're going to have a blast with it. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you we all appreciate most of all, though, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. You guys remember a couple of episodes ago, we had a brand new patron, Phaedrus. You remember
that? Oh, yes, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. So I reached out to Phaedrus.
Yeah. The voice and the face, like not seeing the face, it doesn't convey the same.
Why not? You remember that guy.
Yeah.
I'm just coming back from a vacation, man.
Okay. That's true. That's true.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo. And for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.